From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Later on tonight, Ancient Aliens and Secret Societies. Mike Barra joins us. Here's what's happening. Imagine you are driving down the freeway, 60, 70 miles an hour. All of a sudden, your engine goes dead. No, it's not a malfunction. Someone has hacked into your car and has taken it over. Scary thought. Several car infotainment systems are vulnerable to a hack attack that could potentially put lives at risk, according to a leading security company. The group is called NCC. They said the exploit could be used to seize control of a vehicle's brakes and other critical systems. The company says it found a way to carry out the attacks by sending data via digital audio broadcasting radio signals. Now, this coincides with the news of a similar flaw just discovered by two U.S. researchers. Chris Valasek and Charlie Miller showed Wired magazine that they could take control of a Jeep Cherokee car by sending data to its internet-connected entertainment and navigation system via a mobile phone network. Scary stuff. Chrysler has released a patch to address this problem. But this points out a wider situation that hackers can do to disrupt just about everything we do. IKEA, the huge store, is recalling, get this is not a typo, 27 million chests and dressers because they can tip over and crush children if they aren't anchored to the wall. Two children died after IKEA's Malm chests fell on them in 2014. IKEA says it knows of reports of three additional deaths since 1989 from tip-overs involving other models of IKEA chests and dressers. Now, while IKEA's new repair program is considered a recall, you're not supposed to return the furniture. Instead, you can order or pick up a new free wall anchoring kit for the affected chests and dressers. You're supposed to move an unanchored chest and dresser into a large storage or other area where children cannot get to it until they are properly anchored. That happens a lot. Hey, it happens too when little kids pull down dressers and television sets fall down on them. You got to be careful. Two Russian nuclear bombers flew within 40 miles of the California coast, and one of the pilots relayed a veiled threat during the 4th of July aerial incident. Good morning, American pilots. We are here to greet you on the 4th of July Independence Day. A Russian T-295 Bear Bomber crew member stated that over the emergency aircraft channel. This is scary stuff. Jerome Corsi, who writes for WND.com. Jerry, what is Russia trying to prove here?
Well, it's a testing of U.S. security. The Bear Bombers also intruded very close to U.S. sovereign territory in July 4th, 2012. So this is a repeat incident, and it's about the closest encounter near sovereign U.S. airspace since the end of World War II. The Cold War. But, you know, George, what's not reported is that a lot of the activity of the Soviets, former Soviets, Russia, in airspace or naval encounters, the Russians have also put Russian naval military ships in the channel off of Great Britain are in response to the stepped-up NATO exercises in the Baltics after the Russian takeover of Crimea. So it's kind of a two-way provocation. I mean, we're not reporting, we don't get message here very easily about the provocations of NATO in the Baltics in response to the Russians taking over Crimea, but yet we do get the reports of the Bear Bombers intruding U.S. airspace, and it's all a step up. I'd like to point out also, George, very quickly, that you're seeing with Russia, China, North Korea, and now Iran, a concentration on building up nuclear weapons and nuclear arsenals when the United States is really stepping down our nuclear arsenals, and it's a definite threat. When Russia says that if anyone blocks their attempt to take over Crimea or attacks Russia, Russia will respond with nuclear weapons. We're getting a step up in the nuclear activity around the world, which I think is pushing this nuclear clock much closer to the likelihood we'll have a nuclear war, perhaps in our lifetime.
I was going to say, Jerry, what are the odds of somebody doing something foolish and a mistake happening?
Well, George, this is really, I think, what the real fear is, that the kind of incidents that set off World War One, which, you know, was a series of miscalculations, could easily happen as more nations are developing nuclear capabilities. And with Iran now, I think, being given a green light to proceed, probably covertly, but I think Iran will not respect, the history of Iran is it will not respect this nuclear agreement. It's going to force other countries in the Middle East, including Saudi Arabia, to begin pursuing nuclear weapons. And this just increases dramatically the chance of miscalculation of a nuclear war eventually happening in the Middle East. It's a very frightening time right now. And these testing that we're doing with NATO in the Baltics, with Russia, and that Russia is doing with the United States with these bear bombers and naval ships, these are provocative incidents which could easily go wrong.
All right, Jerry, thank you so much. Scary situation there. Did you ever see the movie Ben-Hur? There was a scene where his mother and his sister were living in a cave full of lepers. They had leprosy. It's a dreaded disease. It's caused by bacteria. Well, Florida residents are being urged to stay away from armadillos, which are being blamed for the unusually high number of leprosy cases all around the state. There have already been 9 cases of this disease reported across Florida this year. Florida averages about 10 cases for the entire year. Something's going on there. Having regular sugary drinks may increase the chance of developing type 2 diabetes, even for slim people. Remember this. And they suggest that cutting down on sugar-sweetened beverages could take a dent out of the number of people developing diabetes. Other experts say, though, overweight and inactivity are also playing a stronger role in diabetes. Americans bought homes in June at the fastest rate in over 8 years, pushing prices to record highs as buyers' demands has eclipsed the availability of houses on the market. Now, there's a proposal in Seattle meant to increase home ownership among Muslims by offering financing compliant with strict Islamic law known as Sharia. It's gaining ground in the latest test for local leaders trying to accommodate diverse religious beliefs. Now, Sharia, which comes from the Quran and means the right path, prohibits the payment of interest, the primary way that lenders, of course, make money. Many of Seattle's 30,000 practicing Muslims, therefore, are hard-pressed to find Sharia-compliant financing options. But what about us? Howard Bloom's with us. Howard, we should all get interest-free loans, shouldn't we?
Yes, it would be wonderful, except the deal is that you're actually going to pay the interest. If you are my banker, you will buy the property. You will then tack on the amount of money that it would have been given in interest. You will sell me the property at this inflated price. Let's say it's a $100,000 building. You'll sell it to me for $170,000. I will pay you that $170,000 in installments, and I will end up paying, in essence, the interest, but without the name of interest. There's a good spot, or there's good news to this, there's bad news to it. The good news is that in reality, the Muslim world is 57 nations, all of them saying that Sharia law is their ultimate law. It's 1.6 billion people. If our banks, like AGI is getting involved in this, the insurance company, the Bank of America is getting involved in this, if our banks get involved in this heavily, it's a positive thing, because there's a $1.6 trillion market for Islamic-compatible financial instruments, and we should be in there. The difficulty is the word Sharia scares us, and it scares us for a reason. There's a poll, it's now exactly today, 1 month old, of 600 Muslims, taken by the Center for Security Policy. And it demonstrated that, or it seems to demonstrate, this is a very biased organization against Muslims, but it seems to demonstrate that 20% of Muslim Americans living in America feel that it would be justified to use violence against Americans in order to establish Sharia law as the law of the land. 25% of Muslim Americans says that it's, say that it's justifiable to use violence against Americans in order to pursue a global jihad. 30% say that it is justifiable to use violence against Americans if Americans insult Muhammad or insult Islam. 20% of the American Muslim community is 300,000 Muslims. If this poll is accurate, that would be willing to use violence to establish Sharia as the law of the land, to get rid of the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and all the things that we know as American. So there's no problem whatsoever with our banks getting involved in Sharia-compliant financial instruments. That's a $1.6 trillion market. If we want to have significant banks in the world, and we do, we've got to get involved in that market. But there is a problem with Sharia in the United States.
You got that right. Howard, thanks so much. Take some time and get up to our website, coasttocoastam.com. Take a look at the highlight pictures. New Horizons sending some more pictures of Pluto. Amazing. The latest images from New Horizons spacecraft have revealed another range of ice mountains on Pluto. The frozen peaks are found on the lower edge of the dwarf planet's heart, as they call it, 1.5 kilometers high. Just amazing. And in a few hours, Mike Barra joins us. We'll talk about some of these stories. And a scientist responsible for finding signs of life on other planets has warned that human beings should probably think twice before making contact with aliens. Professor Matthew Bales, he's in Australia. He says, you know what? I'm warning everyone that making contact with aliens capable of transmitting powerful signals to Earth over tens of thousands of light years could lead humanity into disaster. Because they're likely to be so much advanced, who knows what would happen. That's scary. In a moment, what else is going on this planet that's scary? We're going to check in with the Bulldog, Alex Jones, next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. August 22nd, I've got the pleasure of being in Toronto at one of our live stage show events. And this guy has been there for 2 years via Skype. Just driving the audience wild. And I'm just pleased as punch to announce that Alex Jones is going to be with me live in Toronto this year on August 22nd. Alex, we're looking forward to this. Toronto is a buzz over you.
Well, I've been up there before, great people, and I've been part of your shows live in the United States, but also via Skype in Canada, so I will be there, and I'm extremely excited, so thank you for inviting me, and I can't wait to meet some of your great Canadian listeners.
Folks, full information at coasttocoastam.com under the highlights reel if you want to come from any place around the country to see Alex Jones live in Toronto. Jade Helm, you're in Texas. It's one of the states where they're a little wary of what's going on. Alex, can you give us a report?
Sure. Mainstream media has lost so much credibility and has almost no viewers or listeners, whereas alternative or trustworthy media like your show just continues to get more and more popular because we try to tell the truth. We try to not deceive people intentionally. Doesn't mean we have all the answers. Doesn't mean we're perfect. But I got to tell you, mainstream media, MSNBC and others, when we first broke this 4 months ago, it was just a military report. It was on army.mil. It was supposed to have tens of thousands of troops involved. They said that they would be simulating illegal activities. And we said, look, Posse Comitatus taught us the law barring the military operating domestically has been destroyed. The military admits in Stars and Stripes and the Army Times, other publications, that they've been given a mission to operate domestically. The troops themselves, that are great people, have been warning us that more and more they're being given a domestic mission for basically control of the general population. So they're worried about it. And so we simply said at Infowars.com, hey, we're not saying it's imminent takeover. But we're saying it should be investigated, it should be looked at, because these drills are intensifying. And we know historically, during economic collapses and other issues, central governments and corrupt interests will use the crises for a power grab. Well, then mainstream media ran with the headline saying, Texans think that there's going to be an imminent martial law takeover and gun confiscation. Alex Jones thinks the military is coming to kill you. To try to make it sound like I hate the military, try to make it sound like that imminent martial law was coming. So then when it didn't happen, they could try to discredit me. And I've been on air for 20 years making films, 20 years covering information. I've never had such a concerted effort to build a straw man, to lie about what we stand for, to lie about what we have to say, so they could try to discredit us. And that's exactly what they've done. What backfired on them was they came out with a hoax that, you know, crazy conspiracy theorist Alex Jones and others say it's imminent martial law. And then the governor, Greg Abbott, who I know is a pretty good guy, and Chuck Norris and all these other people that are really respected by conservatives came out and said, you know, we don't think it's imminent martial law, but it's okay to question your government. And there are a lot of, you know, evidences out there that there's a move towards a federal police force. So we're going to monitor this just because the public is so concerned. So basically, mainstream media or dinosaur establishment media, Decepticon media, they jumped the shark. They came out and misrepresented what I said. They cried wolf in my name to discredit me and others, but myself, by name, we broke it, to try to basically make us sound like fools. The public is already so concerned, it's already on edge. They listened to the call as if I'd put it out, got really upset, and they had huge town hall meetings all over the state. People got really angry. They flooded the state house and the governor with calls to where they responded, and it has now been in literally thousands of newspapers around the world. It has become just one of the biggest stories ever, and I think it shows that mainstream media can still run hoaxes, they can still deceive people sometimes, they can still set agendas and make, you know, distractions like Caitlyn Jenner be the top story. But a lot of times now, it ends up backfiring on them, and so they should think about that. And now the military, the Pentagon, has gone from tens of thousands of support personnel and more than 10,000 special forces troops down to 1,200 special forces and about 5,000 support. So they've dialed it way back. But the military itself didn't buy this. I mean, they know that you and I and others that covered this are not anti-military.
Of course.
We don't like our military being used in unconstitutional roles. They're the ones that were warning us about this to begin with and alerting us to what was at Army.mil that nobody had paid attention to. So they attempted to lie to the public, they attempted to lie to the military, and claim that the Liberty Movement is anti-military. But the Liberty Movement is one of the most pro-military groups out there. And we're fighting to get treatment to the vets. We're fighting to not put them in illegal wars. We're fighting to not have NATO fund ISIS. We're fighting to not have the military put on don't treat death list. And so it blew up in their face, George.
Alex, I've heard a couple numbers of states involved in this exercise. I've counted seven: California, Nevada, Utah, Arizona, New Mexico, Colorado, and Texas. Is that accurate?
Yes. And now they've added three other states, so it's a total of 10. But originally it was seven. And that's one thing that got even Louis Gohmert, who's a military veteran and on the Armed Services Committee, a congressman from Texas, that's one thing that got him so upset, was it lists Texas, Utah, and Southern California as hostile areas. And then in some of the same documents that document linked to, it admitted that the military, again, is being given the role of, quote, taking on the number one enemy. And the number one enemy, and everybody's heard this because it's been in the newspapers, is returning veterans, gun owners, conservatives, libertarians, and others. So that's why people got so concerned. And we are seeing a lot of weird military activity. We are seeing a lot of COG, continuity of government drills. And I think it's connected to this buildup for war with Russia. I think it's basically a buildup for economic collapse in case that happens with the situation with China and Greece and other things. And again, obviously, if foreign banks engineer a worldwide meltdown, there's going to be some civil unrest here in the United States, and we might need the military if there's rioting or looting or cities burning to be on the streets, and I will support a constitutional role. It's just that they want to discredit anybody that's questioning a role that might be unconstitutional with the hoax that the Patriot Movement or the Tea Party is anti-military.
That is the problem. Alex, we're going to come back and talk more about Jade Helm. Then I want to get your take on how Donald Trump, no matter what he says, continues to soar in the polls as he leads every other Republican possible nominee for the presidency. We'll be back in a moment with Alex Jones on Coast to Coast AM. Well, next hour, we'll take your phone calls with Alex Jones as we talk about incredible issues that really affect all of us. And we'll be back with him in a moment. We'll talk a little bit more about Jade Helm 15 and then why Donald Trump continues to soar. I think it's because people are just fed up with everything else, but we'll talk about that. And welcome back to Coast, Alex Jones with us for a couple hours, Infowars.com, PrisonPlanet.com. And Alex, thanks for coming on. I know you work during the day like a crazy man. I mean, all kinds of shifts and everything else, so I appreciate this.
Brother, it is so good to be talking to tens of millions of your listeners. I am extremely honored. Please do not thank me, George, and so much of the success of InfoWars is thanks to you and others, but especially you, who over a decade ago had the courage, I can't hardly believe it's been 12 plus years.
Oh my God, I know it.
To put me on air, so thank you so much, George.
I had Craig Hewlett on this week and Stephen Quayle, and both of them believe that what's happening with Jade Helm 15 is a exercise in the event of internal turmoil. Things that we've been talking about, Alex, that it's not a takeover, they're not going to do anything like that, but they're going to be ready in case Americans say, we've had enough, and they try to do something. You think so?
Absolutely. In fact, we know. I just want to be clear for your audience that anybody can go use a major search engine like Google and type in military preparing for civil unrest, Brigade Homeland, NORTHCOM, Army document, civilian inmate labor camp. You can pull up an army.mil, which has been out for 2 years, where the military, and again, it's not the military themselves, they've been given these directives, is preparing, quote, re-education camps. They even use the term re-education camps, that's an old Soviet term, for civil unrest. And so basically what the central government is doing with these Supreme Court rulings and opening the borders outside of law is pushing the public, trying to get a response, trying to trick the public into doing something so the central government has an excuse to come in and crack down. And so it's not debatable that the Pentagon has been given the mission to basically crack down on civil unrest, including by the states. If you read the last two Defense Authorization Acts, they've got language in there about dealing with insurrection by the individuals or by the states. So they're even worried about the state governors themselves saying, we're not going along with these different activities that are unconstitutional. That's why Bloomberg even reported a month ago that Texas is demanding its $1 billion of gold back from the private Federal Reserve in New York City. And even the state comptroller who was in the article said, we're concerned about stability and we want people to know Texas is going to be stable and that we want to have our gold. And so, again, it's not that people want to have civil unrest. It's not that we want to have a fight with the federal government. It's that private corporate globalist interest have taken control of our government. Look at the TPP. Congress passed it to give the president unlimited authority to sign on to any foreign treaty he wants concerning TPP.
And we can't even read it. They won't even tell us what it is.
And they won't even tell us what it is. And then WikiLeaks releases three sections of the 28 sections. And it's draconian internet controls. It is just incredible censorship, control. There's weird provisions that if your city-owned hospital competes with a multinational hospital, you can be shut down. I mean, it is just draconian what's in there. And so basically the takeover has already happened. They just want to have it in place if people try to even peacefully, politically take back the country but not comply with federal edicts, they're then going to send in the federal troops, which was done by Eisenhower when racist school districts wouldn't integrate in 1960. This is different. This is where if the states don't comply with carbon taxes or shutting down our power plants or paying for illegals or whatever, they send in the federal troops. And so that's what's so chilling about this is, remember, 4 years ago, Texas passed in the House a law unanimously to deal with TSA agents that followed federal orders to grope small children, that they would be held to the same laws as police officers or anybody else, and that they would get in trouble for sexual assault. And the federal government threatened to put an air blockade over all air travel into Texas with F-16s. This was in mainstream news, if we didn't, quote, comply. So basically, Washington has been conquered by foreign interest. It's been conquered by the TPP. It's been conquered by these mega banks. And now it's just waiting, trying to stir up a fight with the citizens, with the patriots, to have a decisive paramilitary confrontation with whoever they think is going to stand up to it. It really is chilling.
Alex, there are a couple types of civil unrest. One is, of course, what you just highlighted, which would be Americans fighting for their freedoms. And then there's another kind, a kind that we saw in Ferguson, Missouri, and Baltimore, Maryland, civil unrest, rioting, looting, fires, breaking windows, smashing cars. That's unacceptable to me. So are they training for that one, or are they training for the first one where Americans are just saying, we've had enough?
Well, great question. I wish I would have thought of that. I mean, that's a great question to illustrate this, George. Imagine if you're the globalist. You want to conquer the most powerful, most wealthy, most prestigious nation on earth. You want to be able to have the country fully under your control. You'll control the world's currency. You'll control the world's greatest military. But you're concerned about the people. You're concerned about legitimate government institutions backed by the people, like state governors, like members of Congress as well, saying no. So what do? To shut them down? You blackmail Congress. You federalize the states. You get people dependent. But then you have George Soros, who's on record spending $33 million in Ferguson alone, pushing the socialist slash communist movement, Black Lives Matter. And certainly there's problems, some overly zealous police. Certainly there are some issues. But
no question.
Imagine, what do you do? What do you do if there is a illegitimate takeover happening? You know the patriots of every race, color, and creed are waking up, coming together. What do? Well, you go out and you have the White House-backed foundations that have George Soros amongst them finance hardcore, radical, anti-police, anti-local government demonstrations, seizing on tragedies, firing up their base to then create insurrection and destabilization that is meant to be crushed later, but meant to legitimize the overall federal takeover so that the troops themselves, who are good men and women, go along with it because they basically have to deal with burning cities and civil war that's being started, again, by the illegitimate central government that needs that as a cover for the overall takeover. It's essential for the takeover that they have these movements doing this. And George Soros bragged of CNN with Fareed Zarkaria. He bragged. People can pull this up. Just search George Soros brags that he overthrew Ukraine. And, of course, he was part of it heavily. I think he's exaggerating. It's like Al Gore saying he invented the Internet. But he said that he spearheaded it and that he did it. Well, he was certainly part of it. To go in a year and a half ago and overthrow the elected government with riots financed the exact same way. So this country is in deep, deep trouble, and they've been trying to exacerbate racial tensions and things into the summer. And there's some people that think Jade Helm could have been the pre-staging and preparation, that once that insurrection is stoked and fired up, then the military responds to that legitimate mission to put it down. Yeah. Then that sets the precedent to keep the troops in place.
They're calling already for you, Alex. We're going to take calls next hour, folks. Next hour, indeed. Okay, we don't do politics on this program. I've said that before, but I've got to bring up Donald Trump, Alex, and get your take on this. I mean, the guy is, to date, sweeping the Republican side for the presidential nomination. The campaign is just underfoot. We haven't even started the primaries yet. And this guy seems to be able to say anything he wants, and his numbers go up. What's going on here?
Well, it's the same thing that's been happening with your show and with what I do. People are sick of spin. They're sick of people pulling punches. They don't trust the mainstream media. And that's what Trump just yesterday told Anderson Cooper. He said, quote, "The people don't trust you and the people don't trust the media," he told Anderson Cooper, who's CIA himself and an anti-gunner and the rest of it. So, I want to be clear. Donald Trump, I agree with about 95% of what he has to say. It's common sense to say Mexico and Latin America are collapsing. There's 100,000+ dead people in Mexico just in the last 8 years with their mafia war that's going on. Many of the illegal immigrants that are coming here are already felons, and they have committed incredible crimes. The numbers from ICE show that, and so Trump comes out and says the sky is blue. The media piles on to destroy him, and it only makes him surge by double digits to be the clear front runner. So again, it shows the mainstream media is discredited. When the mainstream media came out and said, conspiracy theorists say Jade Helms and martial law takeover, they're kooks, the public thought, oh my God, the media's liars, it must be a takeover, even though we hadn't said that. That's how out of bullets the establishment are. That said, I like Donald Trump. He's a self-made guy. He's very slick. He's very smart. What he says about free markets on target, what he says about cutting off ISIS's oil fields, totally true. He didn't support the Iraq war, even though he's pro-military and pro-USA. He's been proven right on that front. I really like Donald Trump, except for one thing. And I don't want to start conspiracy theories here. I just want to go off the facts. The problem is he is telling the truth. He is the leader. Why aren't the other Republicans doing it? The problem is he's a pragmatist at the end of the day. He's given more money. And again, you don't do politics. I don't really do it either. I just cover the facts.
Sure.
He's given more money to Democrats than he's given Republicans. He's given massive amounts of money to Hillary. And he says that's just part of doing business. Well, that's true.
Right. By the way, he did say on Anderson Cooper, worst Secretary of State ever.
Absolutely. That's a quote. And so, you know, at a certain point, I just hope that he doesn't get in the lead and then drop out like a Ross Perot, because at the end of the day, we don't need to have the presidency be a crown that's passed right back and forth between two dynasties. Like Kim Jong-un is a third-generation dictator. You know, England has a royal family. America was about getting away from that.
And, you're right. No, you were right.
We just don't need another Clinton or another Bush. I mean, we need somebody else. And the establishment is pushing two candidates. They're pushing Bush and they're pushing Clinton. And so I think that's why the people are rebelling. And the more the media attacks Trump, the more popular he gets. I mean, what does that say to you, George, that when the mainstream media crucifies you now, your poll numbers goes up? I think this illustrates just how much trouble the system's in.
Wow, that old song from Twisted Sister, "We're Not Going to Take It." It's exactly how they feel about what's going on right now. People are frustrated. I pull out my old movie favorite, Alex, Network, where Howard Beale, played by the late Peter Finch, simply said, you know what, we're as mad as hell. We're not going to take it anymore. You know, and I bring up that line once in a while at my events where everybody stands up and I have them scream it three times and they feel refreshed when it's done. I think that's what they're looking at with Donald Trump right now. They know, you know, he brags about his money. He's somewhat of a bully, but I think people find him refreshing because he doesn't sugarcoat anything. Now, you know, did he put his foot in the mouth over a couple issues? Absolutely. I mean, there were better ways that I think he could have said it, and his advisors are probably shaking their head. But in spite of that, he still seems to be growing and growing. I would love to see him with Putin. Wouldn't you? I'd love to see him out there for beers with Vladimir Putin trying to settle
a huge story right there. And at the same time, he said he wants to try to work with Russia and de-escalate this whole situation. I mean, he says so many things that are good, and it just shows how the fact that he's coming off as brash, he's coming off as authentic, he's coming off as genuine, and the people are like men and women dying of thirst in the Sahara Desert. They're so desperate for something real, somebody to make America great again, somebody to not apologize, somebody to not mince words. I just hope that if we get to that oasis that looks like it's Donald Trump, that when we get there, it's not a mirage.
I agree with that. And I hope he's not doing this just to stroke his ego, where, like you said, he does this for a few months and then gets out, and then everything's in disarray.
If he does that, I think he's jumped the shark, and he will be destroyed by his supporters. I mean, he comes off like he's legitimate. He comes off like he really cares, but I just want to warn Donald Trump, this country's in deep trouble, as he himself has said, and if he holds himself out there as, you know, the return of George Washington, he better deliver. And by deliver, if he loses, that's one thing. But if he says a bunch of stuff stupid on purpose, if he bows out early, it is the end of Donald Trump. He's going to be universally reviled. There will be no building him back up. He'll be like Humpty Dumpty.
So scientists are saying, Alex, that they've come up with a vaccine that will prevent the bird flu in chickens. Would you eat one of those chickens?
No, I wouldn't. Look, George, I hate to say, see, we told you so, but the EU is looking at restricting and banning Gardasil. India and Japan have banned it. I mean, we knew 10 years ago during the trials of it that it was causing serious problems. And it's the same thing. We're seeing superbugs rising up because of the use of antibiotics in poultry and other meat products. And we're seeing all these designer vaccines being injected into these animals who are really being kept in unsafe conditions, not sanitary conditions. I mean, forget the animal rights issue, and that's important. But the big issue is when you put a bunch of poultry by the millions together over time in horrible cramped conditions, you're going to see a lot of weird viruses and things developing. And then we're eating this, and so that's one reason that, I would not want to eat something that's been treated with this. The problem is big pharma and big agriculture, the GMO lobby, are working so hard right now to keep us from being able to label our food and to know what's in it. And I mean, I heard you at the start of the show. I mean, how many years have you talked about the fact that these cars and your toaster or your refrigerator or your computer can be hacked? I mean, these are all computers. They're all wirelessly connected. Most of the appliances don't even have a firewall. And then hackers are using it to just steal everybody's data. Every day or two, we hear about a major bank losing tens of millions of people's Social Security numbers, or 21 million federal government employees having their data stolen, including all the spies and government people. Or we hear about, you know, the dating sites or the cheating sites. I mean, it's like we've built the machine that's going to destroy us. Yeah. I mean, I hope that we're not moving to the point of being Atlantis 2.0, because I'll say this, I don't know whether Atlantis was real or whether it was a parable, whether it was a legend. Plato, 2,000 plus years ago, the main historian, said, and he's been proven right with archaeological digs on other issues, Plato said it was real, and they got a super technology and they blew themselves up. Well, whether it was real or not, undoubtedly, we're building towards a new Atlantean event on 100 different fronts. And I have 3 children. You have children and grandchildren. It's time for the people to get involved. It's time for the political elite to splash some cold water on their faces and not be so arrogant and realize we could wreck this whole planet. We could destroy spaceship Earth. And it's time to have a prime directive that is, do not destroy the planet. Do not destroy the species.
We're going to come back and take calls next with the Bulldog, Alex Jones.